Spotlight friends. Welcome to another episode of Ave Spotlight. Today, I am with my dear friends, Stephen and Jasmine Jobert. We are talking about igniting faith in the hearts of teens. And this episode is about family being the foundation of that ignition. And I'm just so excited to talk with some really vibrant and awesome young married Catholic people and how they inspire faith in their own family, what that looks like and what their hopes for their children are. So for all of the parents or just anyone that knows a kid in your own life, I think this will be a really helpful episode for you. So thank you, Jasmine and Stephen, for being here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So Jasmine and Stephen, would you guys just mind sharing? Stephen has been a guest as well as Jasmine. So you guys are familiar with them, but would you guys just mind introducing yourself as a couple, to our listeners?
So cute. I am the Jasmine of the Stephen and Jasmine Jobert dynamic. We have been married for 7.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
So crazy. We just had like our 10 years of being together. And together for 10 years. So wild. We have two daughters that are fun and crazy and wild. And we met on Alive in You doing Catholic mission trip stuff.
Wow.
And that's us. Do you have anything to add? Anything fun?
I am Stephen. And I have nothing to add.
I absolutely love that. Well, I have been privileged to know Stephen and Jasmine for a long time, and they are just as awesome as they sound. So I'm so excited to have you guys on. So for this episode, we just really want to talk about how, as families, whether that's, you know, our biological families or just chosen families that young people have, but especially the families that young people spend a lot of time with, how we can inspire faith in our young people and what that looks like. And if you guys have any models that you've seen, obviously you're raising people. So what that looks like, you know, in your own family of just kind of inspiring faith in a way that makes sense, right? And is attainable. Because so many of our guests previously for this series have talked about they want to make our faith make sense to young people and think that that's at the foundation of having young people be excited. And so first question for y'all is, what would you say to someone that's like, I just, you know, your teen spends like, what, 90% of their life at home. And then they spend a lot of time at school, but not as much as they do with their family. So if someone's like, I just don't know, it's just not interesting. It's not as interesting to my young person as everything else they have going on in life. What would you guys say to that? Do you have something in your own life or just something that you're trying to incorporate in your own family that can kind of speak to how to engage a young person in the faith?
I think part of it is like, if you genuinely think that your kid's sporting event is more interesting or more engaging than your faith, then I think there needs to be some work done there, right? It's like so much of what we do as people, especially the people that we spend lots of time with, so much of what we do and what we engage with is like mimetic, like it's like we imitate what we're surrounded with. And so it's like I would have a hard time if someone was trying to tell me that this thing that they're telling me I need to do every weekend or every day or whatever is important and is valuable, and they weren't excited about it and they weren't engaged with it themselves, right? It's like, so I think part of it is example, like part of it, like, how can you make your kid think the faith is exciting if you don't think it's exciting?
Oh, that's so weird.
Like acting like it's exciting. Even if you think it is, if you're like waking up on Sundays to get ready for mass and you're like, oh, okay, this is like another thing we have to do. And then we have to run to this sport and that sport and that sport. Like, how is it being prioritized within your home? And like, what is your disposition towards it, you know, like, because they can pick up on those tones even when they're like little, but especially by the time they're teens, they know what your like vibe is towards it. If it's like a have to or a get to, like they're gonna catch on.
And I think your language surrounding it's really important, right? Is like oh, do we have to go to mass? And like, oh, we've got to go to mass, and you know, but or are you saying we get to go to mass today? You know, like, and that's a small change, but it does change the mindset a lot. And I know, like, we've experienced that firsthand, even with like Jasmine's parents are always doing a great job mm-hmm. of using that phrase in particular. We get to go to mass today when mm-hmm. talking to our girls whenever yeah. we're around. Mm-hmm. There was like, oh, we get to go to mass today. We get to go, and you know, and like, and I don't think we use the we've got to yes. language in our house, but I think
don't know that we sound as enthusiastic. Right? Like yeah. we need to channel more of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is, but like we do talk about like, hey, we're gonna go to mass today, and like, and it's gonna be great. And like we do try to bring the vibe, you know, but I know that like my mother-in-law in particular is very like consistent with yeah. that like mm-hmm. attitude.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate it. So I think that's part of it. And then also just, you know, I think it's about your own engagement level, and it's about how are you talking about the faith? You know, I remember there was an old Matthew Kelly talk that I used to, I there was so many good like little nuggets in it. I had it on a CD in my car, and I listened to this talk like on repeat for like a week.
Throwback.
But in the talk, Matthew Kelly talked about how like he was talking to parents, and he was telling them like, hey, you know, we start getting good answers when we start asking good questions. You know, like instead of asking your kid like, what do you want to be when you grow up, or where do you want to go to college? Say like, hey, what do you think God's calling you to in your life? How do you think you can contribute? What gifts and talents has God given you? You know, like what things are you passionate about? You know, like it's like those are good questions, not what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, and so I think like the questions that we're asking and how are we engaging with the matter with our kids, I think matters a lot.
Mm. Yeah, I love that a lot. And if you're a parent out there who's listening to this and is like, I am trying to do all that, I think I do all that, and my kid still like is literally pulling the sheets over their head on Sunday morning, doesn't want to go, doesn't care, complains the whole time, you're also raising a teenager. And so give yourself some grace. It's hard out here. Like, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when my kids are teenagers. Mm-hmm. For reference, like, I went to school for theology. I'm very much in the church now. And when I was in high school, my mom would be like, all right, like, I know you go to a Catholic school, but you have to go to these certain classes for confirmation. And I was like, ugh. And I yeah. liked them. Yeah. I would get there and I liked them, but she would never have known based on how I acted on the car on the way there, in the car on the way home. Mm. People would be like, oh, Jasmine had such, so much fun tonight. And she was like, what, Jasmine? Like, it doesn't matter, you know, because I would never have told say them that. Until I was mm-hmm. ready, you know? And then I had the kind of a switch senior year and I was like, okay, I'm actually into this, you know?
Yeah.
And so don't take it at face value. Your kid might also be, they're not going to act like they like something that you're into. Mm. You know, you just might have a kid like that. And so take a deep breath, continue to pray for them, continue to love them through it, and just meet them where they're at and try to make it as approachable as you can. But know that like they might not be acting like this is the best thing that's ever happened to them and as on fire as you are in the faith. And that's okay. Like they might get there, but they're also a teenager.
A teen.
Yeah.
And that's a word. And I'm curious for both of you. Both of you have experience working specifically with the teenage demographic
yes.
in your different ministries. So Stephen mm-hmm. is very gifted in music and ministry. Jasmine is very gifted in speaking and ministry and most other things. And, you know, just very, very, that's what Jasmine is very, yes. And so like, from both of y'all's perspectives yeah. and you seeing children, especially from being young to being grown up and mm-hmm. walking with them, what have you seen as something that, as an impact that family can have mm-hmm. on a teen's like faith foundation? And like, what has that looked like for you? And how can adults, so twofold, what have you seen? And then two, how can adults, so in this series, we've spoken about people that volunteer for youth ministry and people mm-hmm. that go on trips with kids, confirmation, all of that stuff. How can those adults mm-hmm. help, you know, foster faith as well, and kind of lean in to maybe parts where the family might not be exactly thriving in fostering that foundation? So twofold question.
Yeah, I love that. I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I'm sure we have varying thoughts on this. I guess one of my initials to kind of answer the tail end of your question of how other people outside of the home can kind of fill those needs. I think for a lot of your teens that are going to be coming to youth group, showing up to your theology class, like getting on a bus to a confirmation retreat, a lot of those teens, they might not have the foundation of family where like since they were little on, their parents have been this healthy, happy Catholic marriage and have modeled the faith for them and have done all of those things. And so I think one of the biggest roles that people play being involved in any kind of ministry with teens is showing them what a like happy, healthy Catholic adult looks like. Cause I just don't think a lot of teens see that. And specifically to the note about family, I know at least for me, like I had not seen a lot of Catholic couples that were still together, that were happily married, that were excited about their faith when I was going into high school. And so that was something really important to me and something I like really sought after and something that really like got me, like I was saying, I just kind of plugged into youth ministry because our youth minister at the time was in like a very healthy marriage and still is. And they're like wonderful. And I remember something that stood out to me when I was a teen is like, even if we were in the middle of a life night, if his wife would call, he would be like, oh, just a second. And he'd answer like he's on the mic, he's on whatever. And he'd be like, hey, babe, what do you need? And we all just would sit there and wait for him to be talking to his wife. And then he'd hang up because he's like, she knows my schedule. She knows I'm in life. If she's calling, we have two little kids at home. It's important. Like, even if it's because she's like, I'm going to go and say, like, it's important, you know? And I remember being like, wow, that is an example of like a real father, a real husband who's always going to prioritize his wife. And something that I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like that. Like, and he wasn't making a joke out of it. And I remember like the guys that I was sitting next to in life scene kind of being like, huh, you know? And I wonder for how many of us like that stuck with us and changed us. And it's such a small thing. Like it had nothing to do with the content. It wasn't planned out. It was just actually how he lived out his life in his family. And I think you don't realize like the lessons that you're teaching teens by just modeling a healthy family for them because so many of them just need to see that.
That's a word.
I think especially in today's like current dialogue in terms of like what marriage is, it's like you see these like stats thrown around all the time, like, oh, like 50% of marriages end in divorce and all of this stuff. And and it's interesting because like that, first of all, like that data is like not even really that, it's not even that accurate anymore. Like that's like, it's like 60%. And then even then that data is super skewed because like once people get a divorce, it's like you're more likely to get a divorce again. And like, and so like the funny thing is that like a lot of these marriages that are in that data set is like repeat offenders. You know what I mean? Like it's a new marriage, but it's the same people. Right. And so it's actually like marriages are a bit more stable than people let on, but there's this like societal groan when it comes to marriage. It's the old ball and chain, you know, it's like, oh, marriage is like this, you know, this big drag. And I think it's not. And I think as married people, we have a responsibility to like illustrate the like how cool it is to be married. You know what I mean? Like, and not to sugarcoat it and not to pretend that it's something that it isn't. Cause like there are difficult things involved with being married and stuff. And there are struggles obviously, but it's not just this like terrible experience. And it's not this just like, oh, like once you get married, you know, like you even see it in culture where it's like people who they've been together for 15 years in a relationship, but they don't want to get married because there's like some curse that happens whenever, once you're married, you know, everything falls apart and everything. And, and then it's like, that's not even true, you know? And so I think you almost have a responsibility to dispel some of that, like to be a witness to the reality of marriage and like marriage as a sacrament, you know? It's like marriage is like the foremost way in which God has chosen to illustrate his love to his people, right? Like to show his identity, to show who he is, like scripture says God is love, right? And like we have this like Trinitarian mode in which we can look at the family as a sacrament, right? It's like you get a snapshot look at the inner life of God in this very sacramental, symbolic way. And like, that's amazing. You know what I mean? Like what? It's so profound. And people are just like, oh, you don't want to get married. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's this huge drag. It's like, dude, like, no, like this is the primary way in which God wanted to show the world who he is. And like to see that vessel under attack by the world, it's like, no, we have a responsibility to like show how cool it is. It's like, this is amazing. Like to be that powerful witness and to show others like who God is. It's like you reveal to the world who God is through the power of your marriage and by it being awesome and like showing the depths through which God's love is resilient, right? Like that's what marriage does, right? Like seeing a healthy, thriving marriage in the, not in, in the absence of struggle, in the midst of it, right? In the midst of struggle, like that is the thing that makes you a believer, right? Like you start as like, oh, like, you know, like people like, oh, you know, people get, you know, they get heartbroken and you hear those like, oh, I just didn't believe in love anymore and all of this stuff. And it's like, you know, it's like, no, then you see a healthy marriage and you see people who genuinely, and you're like, wow, like love does exist. You know what I mean? Like, and that's like a real thing, you know? And if you're, from a, you know, like from, even if you yourself are from a background with, you know, a broken home or whatever, like it's one of those things that like when you see other people in a healthy marriage, you're like, wow, that is, it is possible, you know, to have. And so I think you give people hope. I think you can give people a lot of, you know, I don't know. Like no, does that make sense? Yeah. Like,
yeah. No, you did it.
Okay, great.
It makes a lot of sense.
And like, show, I love what you said about, you know, that relationship can model for a lot of people, like the love God has for us. And, you know, and for many young people, right? Like, and again, like emphasizing what you said about that doesn't mean that you're in a perfect relationship, right? So we, when we say family, people like envision this kind of beautiful, like
utopian family.
Yeah. And that's like not real life. So I, and I love what you were saying, like even in the midst of all the drudge, like sludge, like seeing people that are loving each other and choosing each other and putting the effort and trying and loving and being like that can, that models like God's like constant like pursuing of us, you know, and like that can ignite faith even more, you know.
Yeah. It's scripture, right? Like the thorn in my side is a grace, right? Like, and if I'm, and like, and if I'm going to like sin, like let me boast in God's glory, you know, like where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, right? It's like, yeah, like in the midst of the struggle, insofar as we illustrate are illustrating our love for one another, even in the midst of the hardship, like that's the impressive part, right? Like that's the part where you're like, wow, love, right? Like whenever you see the, you know, like the elderly couple and you see like the, you know, one of them can't walk good and you got the other one who's pushing the wheelchair and they're still like, and you're like, wow, look at that. Like that's, wow, like that's so inspiring. Like that's love. And so it's not like, oh wow, they love each other so much, they're holding hands and their family looks cute and all of their children have blonde hair or whatever. Like it's no, like look how this family loves each other even in the midst of this crazy tragic thing that happened or whatever it is. It's like, it's it, like your ability to love each other and stay together and to persevere in the midst of the hardship is the impressive part and the thing that witnesses it for people.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I absolutely love that. You guys are rock stars, but I'm biased for everyone listening. I am biased.
Chanel is our first child.
I was like, I am partial, but I absolutely love that. And I think it's hopeful for everyone listening throughout this series. We've kind of given examples with Annie from our previous episode from Why Disciple about how we can communicate on media to young people in a way that's like engaging and exciting and wants and can prepare someone that's accompanying them, like a youth minister or a volunteer to also be with them and make it exciting. And I think when we circle back to everything, the most important thing is the people that the young people surround themselves with.
Yeah.
Which being for many of them is their family.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, and who they spend a majority of their time with. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really hopeful to say for you all, and you've been saying just like, one of the most important things is just a family that tries and pursues each other every day.
100%.
And that yep. witness to young people is like, it's not even like an active, you're catechizing them every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, it's like passive catechizing.
It's passive catechizing. Yeah, you're like, happening. I'm just kind of loving, yep. I'm loving mm-hmm. your dad, I'm loving your mom, I'm loving you in the midst through of that, all of your absolutely. Mess yeah. and all of your joys and all of your mess. And that is a witness because that steadfastness to a young person is like, oh, wow.
Yeah, you know? That consistency maybe God is like this. Huge. Yeah. Because
our faith is primarily something that's lived. Mm. It's not just a set of rules or a set of beliefs or a mm-hmm. set of facts, right? Mm. And so it's, yeah, like when you live this thing, that's the most convincing part about it because yeah. it's something to be lived, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. a word. Well, gosh, I wish I could talk to you guys for forever. And I mean, absolutely
you can
love-
after we hit end on this recording. Gosh,
you guys.
We all continue talking.
Something about me is that I will always be with these people. Currently for everyone listening, I am at the Joubert's home and we're having a 3-day sleepover. I'm
about
so
to
excited.
Eat some cookies.
About to eat some cookies. We are really doing it. So
you guys can come to the next sleepover.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We'll live stream it. So for, you know, all of our listeners at the end of every episode, we ask each guest about something that gives them hope. So it can be either something that you're looking forward to or something in the past that has given you hope. Doesn't have to necessarily even relate to what we're talking about right now. If you guys need time to think about it, I can go first, or if you're ready, you can go. How are you feeling?
You go first.
Okay. Something that has given me hope has been and I'm gonna take your kids, has been spending time with Jasmine and Steven's kids. I get to spend time with their girls like every week. And it's such a gift to see them just be fun mm-hmm. and like be kids. And I just am hopeful that they're gonna just be fun little sassy girls. And yeah, and it's fun to just like hang out with them. So mm-hmm. I love that.
They'll definitely be sassy.
Yeah.
Do you have yours?
So something, this is gonna sound strange, but something that really gives so me hope. Scared. No. It's like, it's not weird, but it is something like weird to point out. But so something that actually gives me a lot of hope is comedians are starting to make fun of not believing in God again. Mm. And I think that that's great. Mm.
Self-awareness.
Like there's a reality to which like whenever people start talking about like, especially comedians in particular, start talking from the perspective that like belief in God is the more like obvious thing mm-hmm. and that believing not in God and like to do it on like a larger secular platform, I just think it's great. And so that like it just to me kind of indicates that there's kind of a turn happening in culture because comedians really do kind of have their they've got their thumb on like what's happening in the world. Yeah. You know, they really are kind of like the philosophers of our time. Yeah. You know, and so anyway, it's just becoming like a little bit more common to kind of see that like, you know, because for a while the dialogue was very like, oh, I can't believe you believe in God. That's like, so, you know, like, don't you know, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And just, it's interesting. I found in the past, even just the past year, it's just becoming a little bit more common for people to just be like, remember believing in God, how smart that is, you know? And it's just like, ah, yes, that's what we need. We need more of that. Mm. So that does give me hope. That makes me just excited for kind of, you know, not everything's gloom and doom, y'all. Yeah. Some things, people are starting to see things. People are thinking. So it's good.
That's really funny. I have a hard time with this every time. I'm going to piggyback off of yours, Chanel, and talk about my kids, of course. The girls just got the book from Steven's sister, The Princess of Heaven book. By Fabiola. It's
oh,
so
I have
good.
To see it. Oh my gosh.
So it's in their room because they will not like go to sleep without it. I'll in their room. They are obsessed.
Yes.
It's
oh
stunning.
My gosh.
The stories are so good. Nice. And now our oldest is like obsessed with wanting to be a princess of heaven. And we're like, oh, you like need to be a saint. And so yesterday we had like the most sweet conversation and it just like gave me so much hope for her life. And she was like, okay, mom, remind me. So I want to be a princess of heaven. What do I need to do to be a saint? And so I'm like, you know, she's five. So we're not doing anything crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, like we need to show kindness to others. We need to share, like we need to love Jesus and love one another. And I was like, and you know, we like, I think I broke it down that simple. I don't think I did anything. And she was like, oh, I don't know. She was like, there's a lot of times I'm not so kind, especially to my sister. And I was like, okay, well,
you're self-aware.
I get it. I was like, that's great. I was like, well, then when we make a mistake, I was like, we say we're sorry and we ask for forgiveness. And she was like, oh, I'm totally going to be a princess of heaven. I say I'm sorry all the time.
She does.
I was like, same girl.
Like, she does. She is the sweetest. Oh my gosh.
She was just like the most hopeful. I was like, I was like, she's getting it. She's going to be fine. She was like, okay, I get it. I might not be perfect all the time, but I'm getting pretty good at saying I'm sorry.
And look at that.
What a skill.
If that is not the most hopeful thing that our young people want to be princesses of heaven.
Isn't that everything?
Shout out to, is it Fabiola?
Yeah.
Shout out to Fabiola for creating that book. I've been following it. It is. That is just so, I can't wait to look at it. I saw that
she's already working on a sequel.
As she should.
And I can't wait.
As she should.
Like, keep them coming.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Princesses of Heaven. I can't wait to ask the girls about that tomorrow. That is
they're
going to
be excited. They're going to make you read the whole book.
Yeah. I can't wait. Oh my gosh. I love that. Well, thank you guys so much. It has been awesome. A pleasure as usual. And and you guys rock. So thanks for being with me.
You rock.
Yeah.
I love you.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much to Jasmine and Steven for being our guests. I hope that whatever teen, whatever young person that you're around, that you can be a family and love on them and truly witness God's love to them. I hope that this conversation was encouraging. I pray for the young people in your life, especially as we continue our series about igniting faith in the hearts of teens. I hope that y'all have a great day. Please pray for me. I'll be praying for you, and I look so forward to talking to you again soon. God bless.